Gauze bandages? Check. Tweezers? Check. A bottle of acetaminophen? No. What works in a human first aid kit sometimes won't work in one for our pets, and can even prove deadly if you don't know what you're doing. Dr. Matt Fraker from the Prairie Oak Veterinary Center says when it comes to your pet's health, just like a real doctor, you've got to first do no harm. And if you're at all concerned about the right way to treat a sick or injured pet, get in touch with your vet. Because the most important thing in your pet's first aid kit is your veterinarian's phone number.
And if you really don't know if you might be doing harm, then just find that resource. It's going to take at most two phone calls, maybe one to your veterinarian. And if they're closed, they should have some sort of option for you to either reach them, like our clinic has a pager service. We're still carrying around pagers.
I was going to say, that's great. That's amazing.
Everyone thinks we're doing drug deals to supplement our vet income. But so you can reach us 24/7. Making a phone call doesn't mean you're going to spend $1,000. It's just a very simple way to get some input on. Great example. Dogs who blow out their cruciates at 7 o'clock in the evening.
I'm sorry, they're what?
They're cruciate ligaments. ACLs in humans, we call them CCLs, cranial cruciate ligament. We see a lot of ligament injuries, mostly in dogs, okay? So here's an injury that's not an emergency, doesn't require a visit at that time. Other than if the owner's not sure what happened and if there's a worry about a fracture, that's a little bit different. But if a dog blows out its knee, that's often something where it can be pain meds that evening that are prescription and correct for the pet. And then the next day, you can actually go in and start getting the animal worked up and everything. But to figure that out, you need to make that phone call and have a doctor talk you through and say, you know, that's probably what that is. If you're comfortable waiting through the day, that's fine. Or if you want to do something about it right now. But the places where we get into trouble isn't so much, I mean, cuts and scratches and ticks, how to remove a tick with a really, really delicate pair of tweezers, how to wrap a wound. A lot of these things are somewhat common sense. I mean, there's pointers you can, most of these wounds we're talking about, owners taking care of, are cuts on paws or lower limbs.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to wrap it, put something on it, not make it too tight. I mean, some of the stuff's common sense, but where we really get into trouble is owners going up to their pharmacy and using their drugs on a way that they think they can be used on their pets. And that's where we get into a lot of trouble. In some cases, it's entirely benign. In fact, in some cases, we're greatly increasing the dose that a human takes. Benadryl is a classic one, diphenhydramine, 25 milligrams the adult dose. One or two of those, and you and I are probably drowsy for the rest of the day. We'll give a 100-pound animal 4 or 5 a dose.
Wow.
So there's a dose where we're giving a lot larger doses to dogs than we would to humans. But flip that and give a single Tylenol to a cat or a single Advil to a small dog, and you're potentially ruining organs, you know. And it's that simple to trash kidneys or liver or bloodstreams by mismedicating with human meds.
So keep human meds out of your pet first aid kit. But are there pet meds that we could buy to keep in a first aid kit,
you know,
that we can get over the counter?
The best thing to do, really, I think, is to approach your pet's healthcare professional and just discuss this. So, for instance, in our situation, in our clinic, we have dogs that we know may have a tendency towards stress diarrhea when they're boarding, or certain things are going to set off their tummies. And we have a prescription medicine that we've prescribed to them before. We know they're fine with it. And so that's a situation where we'll have these owners always have some on hand. So if their dog breaks with diarrhea at 8 o'clock on Saturday night, they've got the medicine, they can call us, I'm going to give it. We say, great, you're good to go. Don't worry about anything unless it doesn't resolve or worsens. If that takes care of it, great. Pets who have chronic arthritic conditions or are dealing with pain situations, there's a situation where we definitely want to hand select through communication, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory that is safe for your animal, that is meant for long-term usage for that animal, that you can have on hand. So these are medicines that we can fill a first aid kit with, but with direction.
Well, let's talk about, let's say our pet gets a cut or a scrape. First of all, cleaning that wound. Do we at all use stuff for humans, like antibiotic ointment? Do we use any kind of soap on it? Can we use Hydrogen peroxide,
Neosporin.
So people things for the exterior of our pets. Are those okay or not?
Cuts are a great example because we see them a lot. Hydrogen peroxide is okay once. It's okay once. You know, you see a new wound, you're not sure what happened, put a little peroxide in it, let it do its thing. Uh-huh. But recurrent hydrogen peroxide causes tissue damage and actually slows down the healing process. So you just do it once. You don't want to do it any more than that. Neosporin is like sort of the classic. Everyone has it on hand and it's around. And it's pretty benign for a single, like, stop gap until we can get this thing really checked out or does it need to be seen by a vet. A lot of topicals do have as a component to their ingredient a steroid. Neosporin, I think, is just a triple antibiotic without a steroid. It's safe. It's okay to use. Whenever you're going to use a topical at home, always apply that topical just the amount you need. You don't have to dip a paw in Neosporin for a cut. You can put just a little bit on the wound after you've cleaned it. And if you're not going to wrap it, which is okay, if the wound doesn't need to be wrapped.
But the animal might lick it.
Yes. So whenever you put a topical on, you always want to take them for a walk after you apply the topical or feed them or both. Put your topical on, then give them a little meal, and then take them outside and walk them around. Just break the thought process. Try to distract them away from the cut or the wound. Now, inevitably, they're probably going to want to start licking at that wound.
Maybe we should keep Elizabethan collars in our first aid
exactly.
kit.
Exactly. Well, you know, we're making you buy those every time you get one. And if they survive whatever we had you use them for, then keep it.
Wipe it off and put it in.
Yes, absolutely. And that is probably where wrapping does come in the handiest. It's not necessarily to protect the wound from the environs, but to protect the wound from the pet. Because the mouth is a nasty place in cats and dogs, and they're inoculating these wounds with all sorts of bacteria, and they lick them. We still have clients and folks who think that that wound cleansing is a good thing, that dogs cleaning their wounds, cats cleaning their wounds is a good thing. It's not. When you put those wraps on, if the pet wants to lick the wrap, that's harmless as long as they don't start shredding it and mm-hmm. eating the wrap.
Yeah.
We have had occasional animals that eat wraps, and that's like eating a sock, and it is a concern.
So I would definitely have an Elizabethan ruff around the house. You know, just stop by the Shakespeare Festival, pick up a couple,
exactly.
and you're absolutely fine. What about having a thermometer in our first aid kit? And I'm referring to a rectal thermometer. Now, I feel like I could never use a rectal thermometer on a pet because I have to live with that pet. I have to look that pet in the eye, and I just can't do that. Are there possibly, because now we have thermometers for ears for people, are there thermometers for ears for animals?
There are. The problem is their canals are more variable than ours. Ours are strictly horizontal canals, and cats and dogs have vertical canals that go down into horizontal canals. The truest measure of a pet's temperature is a rectal reading from a thermometer, and any thermometer works. You just want to make sure you label it pet thermometer after that. Your three-year-old child may never talk to you again if you screw that one up.
And but, that's another good point is when you put together a pet first aid kit with maybe ointments and things like that, keep it out of reach of children.
Yes, keep it out of reach of children and just generally set it aside and make it a pet-only kit. Certainly some of that stuff may go bad and you may have to replace it, but it's just less confusing to keep it set aside and always set it aside. And finishing up on the rectal temperature, it is a really huge piece of information for us. If you're sitting at home and your pet's not feeling good, but the temperature's normal, we're more apt to figure out a conservative thing for you to do before you have to go seek emergency care. If you are able to get a rectal temperature on a dog, put a snack on one end, you'll probably be able to get the other.
Get a little KY jelly.
Yeah, exactly. A little lube and a handful of biscuits, and you're set to go. If we do get a significant fever reading on a thermometer, then that's going to push us more towards a more rapid or aggressive response.
If we have a diabetic dog or cat, should we keep on hand glucose paste or corn syrup?
Yeah, Karo syrup's one of the classics for this. Karo's probably the most classic one of those because it rapidly absorbs across gums, so if your animal is unconscious or seizuring, you can get some Karo on the gums carefully, especially if they're seizuring because they're biting down. They don't have any idea what's going on. You could get a finger and significant damage, but it will buy you time, and it's a very, very important thing to have around for diabetic animals.
That's Dr. Matt Fraker from the Prairie Oak Veterinary Center in Normal. He says also keep the number of the ASPCA Poison Control Center in your pet first aid kit. There are pre-prepared first aid kits available in pet retail stores and online. They can come in handy because they keep in one place many of the supplies you'll need in a natural disaster as well as a health emergency. Now that you're prepared for pet first aid, are you also prepared to bring a new furry friend into your life? If so, consider Molly, the Animal House Pet of the Week. Molly is an 8-year-old Jack Russell Terrier who sports not one, but 3 colors. This sweet girl enjoys quiet evenings watching the Food Network, chasing a ball through the backyard, and listening to you talk about your day. You can find Molly at Wishbone Canine Rescue in Bloomington. I'm Laura Kennedy.